glory be to God forevermore. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Well, you can be seated if you can. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. Praise God. Oh, praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the name of the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we come before your word tonight with expectancy in our spirits, me especially. Thank you. I place myself in the hands of the Holy Spirit, the master teacher, for the anointing to deliver this message accurately, clearly, and as you gave it to me and developed it in me, I give you praise and honor for every word that's said and every deed that's done. Thank you for it, Lord. It's just massive in my spirit. Help me bring it out where it can do for others what it's done for me and for my family and for our lives. Thank you. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Tonight, the Lord has instructed me to share with you really the key issue, the very core message that it'll work in anybody's life. God is no respecter of persons. When I saw it the first time, I was a student at Oral Roberts University, and I got my first glimpse of it. And only one slight glimpse. Now you have to understand, Gloria and I were, oh my goodness, our income the year before was well below the poverty level of the United States. Well below. And yet we had a lot of debt and so forth, you've heard us talk about it. I was under such a strong influence of failure. It rode me like I had a saddle on me. It was in my thinking all the time. I was just burdened with it. It just seemed like I had failed everything. Well, when I went to Old Roberts University, the first day of classes was the first day that I'd been in the will of God in my adult life. Of course everything was a mess. The reason I had such a failure complex is because I was a failure. I'd failed at everything I tried to do. Amen. But that changed. And this was the thing that had such big impact on me, and it changed it almost instantaneously. And I remember the day that I got my very first glimpse of it, like I said, and I thought, dear Lord, man, is that right? Could this be right? I'd never heard anybody say anything about this. But within a matter of hours, just a few days of meditating on what I'm going to share with you tonight, in my consciousness, in my mind, in my whole being, I went from a deadbeat failure. In my own consciousness, I saw myself really worse than I actually was. Not bad enough, but the way I saw it was a whole lot worse than that. I was like a guy went to the doctor with an inferiority complex. He said, "You don't have any complex, you're actually inferior." Well, that's the way it struck me, man. You don't have a failure complex. I mean, you're actually a failure, you know. That's really the way. Only thing I'd ever done. I'd done two things in my life at that time that was really outstanding. One, I married Gloria Niece. Now, that was the first thing I'd done right. And the second thing I did was make Jesus the Lord of my life. You put those two together, and it jerked a lot of slack out of me. And I was headed in the right direction, but when I got hold of this, it changed my thinking from failure to success. And the first time I ever saw it, my whole attitude changed. I knew. It wasn't something I just believed. I knew that I knew what I knew. I knew I was already a multi-wealthy man. And it was only a matter of time for this thing to take root and be manifest in my life. I mean, we didn't have money enough. I didn't have money enough to buy gasoline and food at the same time. On the first trip that we took with the whole family and the kids going to Oklahoma City to preach a meeting up there, I put all the money in the fuel tank. And the kids were saying, "Daddy, we're hungry." I said, "Yeah, I know it. I am too. When are we going to eat?" I said, "Any minute now. Any time now." And a little bit later, "How much longer, Daddy? We're hungry." "Well, just any little bit now." I didn't have a dime. But I never would say things like that because this thing had just overwhelmed me. I am a wealthy man. And I know wealthy people don't ever even carry any money. There's always somebody there to pay the bill. I mean, I wasn't trying to work this up. You understand what I'm saying to you? And you'll understand more as we go into it. Well, as we got into the edge of Oklahoma City, I saw money flash by the wind just blowing crosswise of the road there. And I said, "Gloria, that is money I saw blow across the street." She said, "I didn't see it." I said, "Oh, man," I got over in that left lane and made the turnaround and came back and got over here next to the road. And I'm driving really slow, driving longer, and there it was. The wind had just plastered it up against a cyclone fence. I pulled over. I got out. I went and peeled my $20 off of that fence. And we right on the edge of Fast Food Alley coming into Oklahoma City. And the kids went to screaming and hollering, "There's the Sizzler. There's the Bull. Let's go in there." I said, "Anywhere you want to go." I mean, you know, 1967, 1968, $20 would buy a nice lunch. And we did. But that was, you'd seem like you'd just be so excited you couldn't stand yourself. I didn't see why not. This thing had so totally consumed me. And I want to show it to you tonight. And the Lord has given me permission. I've been studying it for the constantly, consistently. It's been the key issue of my studies. It's assumed enormous amounts of my prayer and praise time with the Lord. And you heard my dad say on that clip tonight, the times that I, you know, go walking down in that Arkansas riverbed, and this was a whole lot of what I was meditating on back there then. So, let's go back to the Gospel of John chapter 1. Once again, we will read our foundation scripture that we've been reading each of my services throughout the week. Verse 1, the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 1. "In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. The same." Say that out loud. "The same." "The same was in the beginning with God. All things." Say that. "All things." Drag out the word "all" a little bit and impress your mind with it. "All things." All things were made by Him. Him who? God the Word. Hallelujah. And without Him, without God, nor without the Word, was not anything made that was made. In Him, in God, in the Word was life. And the life was the light of men, and the light shines in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. 14th verse, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Now notice, the Word was made. The Word was made flesh. We use the word become. Well, and that's not incorrect, but it does not have the impact that I want you to allow to impact your thinking tonight. The Word was made. Made. Something was made. Flesh, and dwelt among us. Now, go over with me to the third chapter of the book of Galatians, and let's make a note here and lay this on top of that revelation that God, in the beginning, was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God the same. And I want to lay that, I want to lay this on top of that. See, I caught sight back there then that I was wealthy in Christ Jesus. That I was a new creature. Old things had passed away. All that failure syndrome was gone. All that poverty was gone. All that curse was gone. I mean, it was gone right there. You couldn't tell it by looking at me. I was still driving the same old doggy car. I'd lost, by the time I got hold of this, I had lost 40, 50, I'd lost about 55, 60 pounds. I didn't have but one suit. And there was a guy altering that suit over and over and over again. And the last time I took it over there, he kind of laughed and he said, I don't think I'm going to be able to do it no more, man. I said, what? He said, I don't think I can take them pants up no more. I said, why? He said, you're going to have one big pocket right in the back. Well, I mean, things were changing, see? This was happening to me, and this is what I want to get through to you tonight. I wasn't becoming wealthy. I already was. I caught sight of the fact that everything I ever needed, far beyond my wildest dreams, everything I would ever need in the ministry, everything I would ever need in my family, I mean the buildings, cars, airplanes, equipment, money, I don't care what it was, far beyond anything I had guts enough to believe, beyond all I could ask or think. I finally found that in the book of Ephesians. Was already set aside for me before God ever called me to this ministry. Yeah, the scripture talks about your heavenly account. It's there. It's already been set aside. Now, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. The Word was in the process of drawing that, all of that, all of it, my the health that I needed, the mental changes that I needed, all of this, not only for me but in my family and this whole thing. It was in the process of making it into this world. It was withdrawing it from the other side and bringing it into things manifestation here. I needed health in my body. My body wasn't healthy. I needed better health. I got it. I needed money. I got it. Everything I've ever needed, I received. But it was all already there. And it's that transfer that people get hung up on. even after they find out about it, how do you cash the check? So, notice here in the third chapter of the book of Galatians, and let's like I said, let's lay this on top of, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Now, this is the Word of God. In the 13th verse, Christ, the Anointed One, through His anointing, has redeemed us from the curse of the law being made. Well, now here's a little peephole peek into the treasure house of God. Has been made a curse for us. What made him a curse? The Word of God. God said it. And that word, Jesus received that word by faith. Now, the way you and I have to receive healing by faith, he received being made sin for us. He received sickness and disease. He was made to be sin. He was made a curse for us. How? He took God's word for it in the old covenant. It's all in there. Every word of it is in there. He took those words and he received all of that into and on himself by faith. He took your unrighteousness. He took your sin. He took your sickness, your disease, and he accepted and he closed the deal by accepting that cross and its punishment. But that wasn't the big thing when he was saying, "Oh God, let this cup pass from me." Hanging on that cross was that was nowhere near the major thing. The major thing was being separated from his Father and having to go into hell and pay that price for that. There ain't nobody that ever got in there, ever got out. And he had to have faith in the Word of the living God that once he got in there, that the Word would get him out. Amen. That's a step of faith. He had to be made sin. He had to be made a curse. How did that happen? He found it in the Word, and he released it, and he confessed it with his mouth. You've read places where he confessed it himself. That's right. He told them what he's going to have to do. Well, he wasn't just telling somebody. He confessed these things and received them and let the Word do its work. Not only in the curse, but what? Now, note it. Look here. He's redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written. You see where he got it? It is written, cursed is everyone that hangs on a tree, so that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles. Huh? Through Jesus Christ. Through Jesus and his anointing, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit by faith. Now there's the whole process again. The Word made flesh. The Word made sin. The Word made a curse. The Word made you the blessing and seed of Abraham. Didn't you see it? It's the Word action. It's Word action received by faith. And you find it over there in the 29th verse. Look at that. 3:29. And if you be Christ, if you belong to him, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Well, this word is your title deed. The heirship to that fortune. Man, I'm telling you, it's a vast, human beings can't calculate. They're not a computer on the face of the earth that can handle that many digits. Can you see it? Well, it's the same process. The only way that it'll ever manifest in your life is for the word to make it. See, this is a creative word. It started out with light be, light was. This is a creative word. It has the creative power and anointing of God in it. The very first words that God ever said to a human being, be fruitful and multiply. Replenish, fill up the earth with his glory, with this Garden of Eden, this magnificence that he had released here. He released it in his word. And if this man had done what God intended for him to do, that word would have made him glorious. Can you see it? That word would have made that Garden of Eden begin to expand. That word would have made the children and the offspring in the very likeness and the glory of Almighty God. That's the reason he released it here. The word was to make it. The word would have made it so. The word, that the blessing which became the blessing of Abraham, has one design, one desire by God. It was released in order to make that Garden of Eden expand and expand. We have the geological boundaries to that garden right here in the Word. In general, it is the area now we know now as Iraq. We have the boundaries to it, the rivers and all the boundaries. We know how big the Garden of Eden was. It was big for a garden for one man to live in. It was huge. But it didn't cover the whole planet. And you can see right quick what the rest of it was like when Adam had to leave. It was a mess. It was wild. But God intended for him, with faith in those words, be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth, fill this thing up with this glory, and let that word become. Let that word expand that garden and expand it. And he was to have more family, and the garden would expand, and the birds were blessed, and the fish were blessed, and everything that lived, everything that breathed, flew, crawled, walked, swam, all of it would be blessed by God's very compassion and his life and his love being manifested in the oceans and in the skies and all over, until that garden covered the entire planet. This little planet would become the garden spot of the universe. And that's when your heavenly Father would have come down and said, see all them other planets out there? Yeah. You about got this one finished? Yeah. Let's go to the stars. That's the reason it's in man's heart to go out there now. But he didn't intend for you to wear one of them suction suits. No, he intended for you to go in his equipment. Did you ever read about his chariot? Son, Glenn, I have made arrangements with the Lord. Let me fly that thing at least once. Amen. Amen. Me and you go do it together, okay? The Bible says that thing is as fast as a lightning from the east to the west, and it calls it God's chariot, and he rides the heavens in this thing. That's the speed of light, brother. I thought that 10 was fast. Man, yeah, but that's backing up compared to that thing he's got. There, Lord. Can you imagine the acceleration of that machine? Well, I don't want to get off on that, but I got me some reservations made. I'm going to get to flight. Amen. I mean it. Hey, I own a piece of it. Belongs to my Father. And I can have my Father's car anytime I want it. Now, I'm not just being funny or amusing with you. I mean that with all my heart. Anything belongs to my Father's mind. Oh, but Brother Copeland, we're just so unworthy. Oh, shut up. Aren't you tired of that by now? Can you just see all them little girls up there on that platform tonight and the love that's in our family? And oh, they're all grown women, I know that, but to me they still dear little girls, you know. I just love them so, and my grandsons and this whole family. Can you just imagine one of those little girls come up to, I'm sitting in my easy chair, you know, and I'm sitting in there. I'm just enjoying the afternoon and I, you know, whatever I want to do. And it's just so lovely and pretty in there. And I got this great big health food, high power, high energy bar in my pocket. And I'm thinking about nibbling on this in a little while. And one of those little babies come in there on their knees saying, Grandfather, oh, I know I'm so unworthy, wouldst thou in thy great wisdom and benevolence, wouldest thou givest me just the wrapper off of yonder candy bar? Oh, I'm too unworthy for the bar itself. Oh, Jesus probably had his hands on that bar. What kind of a screwed up granddaddy would that be? Nah, get away from me, kid. Unworthy thing. Go out and win 750 more souls, and maybe I'll give you a candy bar. Go on. No, wasn't that way in our house. Not ever. I mean, they come a-charging in there. It's still that way. Praise God. I mean, Kelly's still this way, and she's half them kids are hurt. I mean, I can just see them come running in there and jump up in my lap and say, "Hey, Papa, what that you got in your pocket?" Amen. Yeah, all I'm going to get is a wrapper. Amen. You think that irritates me? No, there's parents all over the world wish their kids had come do that. Amen. That's the way your father is. Oh, yeah. Absolutely. And the sooner we get over into this word and allow that word to build that into your consciousness, is the sooner the word can begin to change things and make your environment by the blessing of Abraham to manifest in and around you in everything you're doing. I don't care if you're in business, in the ministry, or what you're doing. I mean, this is supposed to be working in your life and in and around your household. Amen. All the time. Now, if you be Christ, well, 28th verse, there's neither Jew nor Greek, neither bond nor free. There's neither black nor white nor brown nor yellow. Praise God. Anybody that thinks this is judged by the color of your skin, well, you just got to be a fool to think that. Dear Lord. Either that or you can't read. Neither Jew nor Greek, neither bond nor free, neither male nor female. You're all in Christ Jesus. And if you be Christ, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Heirs according to the word that made. Heirs according to the word that made flesh and dwelt among us. Heirs according to the word that made the curse and the sin on Jesus, that made you the righteousness of God. Yes. The word I'm telling you, hallelujah, that made Abraham the wealthiest man. The word that made Job the wealthiest man in the East. The word of the living God. Well, come alive and it'll become whatever's promised in this book. It doesn't have a thing in the world to do with what you do for a living or where you work. It has nothing to do with that. A janitor can have a jet. Yeah, I said that in a meeting one time. There's a woman caught me out front. She said, "I'd like to know what a janitor have any business with a jet." Well, I didn't know how to answer that. So I just stopped and kind of turned inward, and the Lord said, "Tell her it depends on what he does on his weekends." Yeah, God may have called you to work in that. He may have called you to be a janitor in that bank or in that school or in that place because he wanted you in there to take his word in there. That job don't have nothing to do with your prosperity. Nothing. That's just your assignment. And then on your weekends, you're out preaching all over the world. You need a jet. Amen. How do you think Charles Capps wound up with an airplane? What does a farmer need with an airplane? He's one of the best pilots I ever flew with. Well, what's he needing with an airplane? Because he got to preaching the gospel on his weekends, and then finally his weekends took over his week, and he quit farming and went into ministry full time, and he preached out, I'm telling you, has established one of the finest ministries in the world. What happened? The Word became. He got a revelation of that back there 40 years ago, about the same time we did. Are you following me now? You with me so far? All right, now I want to take you into something here. Go with me over into the book of Genesis, into the life of Joseph. There's something here that is very important, extremely important. The level of activity of this word in your life is absolutely, it is equal in portion to the amount of reverence that you have for the integrity of the written word. When this becomes first place in your life, I'm telling you, final authority. There are times, I enjoy reading. I'm not a fast reader, but I'm a thorough reader. And a lot of things I enjoy reading. I particularly like autobiographies and that kind of thing. How mean it happens to me all the time. I'll pick up something. I think, well, I'm going to enjoy reading this. And I get into it and I get to reading it. And I pick it up and it's an interesting story. And I think, well, yeah, and I'm reading along here in a little bit. I've pitched it over. I thought, and something will occur to me or it'll trigger something in me. And I'm headed for my Bible. Amen. Because this thing is my life. This is my life. I don't ever intend to be without it. Anywhere I go, whatever I do, this is it. This is life. This is my wealth. I am a wealthy man, but this is where it came from. No, it didn't come from people. It didn't come from projects. It didn't come from anything out there. The things that did come to me were seeking first the kingdom of God, and all those things over the years have been added to us. See? But this is the source. This is the source. This is the source. Now, in the book of Genesis, chapter 37, I'll show you a couple of things right there. This began when Joseph was 17 years old. And notice, Joseph dreamed a dream. And then it came down a little bit further, and he had a second dream that confirmed the first one. It was different in its graphics and so forth, but it was confirmation of the first one. Now remember this. Make a mental note of it. Make a note on if you're taking notes and so forth. This was very, very early in the days of God's covenant with man. God made a covenant. God made a covenant with Adam. God made a covenant with Noah. But they weren't covenants that were everlasting covenants for 1,000 generations like it was with Abraham. And his qualification was that he would teach his children. This is an everlasting covenant. This is the covenant that produced Jesus in the earth. The Word that was made flesh and dwelt among us came through that covenant promise that God made to Abraham. Well, in those times, there was no written word. It was the word of the Lord that had come to Abraham that he taught to Isaac. He taught it in his household. He did what God said. He taught his children. He taught them the blessing. He didn't know much about it. When Isaac was raised from the dead, the Bible said he received Isaac raised from the dead in a figure before he ever started to slay him and offer him as sacrifice on that altar. He considered him, the Bible said, raised up from those ashes because God had said, so shall your seed be. And he was fully persuaded God was able to carry out what he had promised. Well, he taught the blessing to his family. That's all he knew anything about. Amen. Now, here we are, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph is his youngest son. And now that's all the far we are removed from Abraham. And we're dealing with this blessing. Now remember, he appeared to Isaac after Abraham died. God appeared to him. God had to go say something to somebody because they didn't have the book. It was just being formed in those days, both in heaven and in earth. So he appeared to Isaac and he said, I will perform the oath that I swore to your father Abraham. Can you imagine God coming to somebody and saying that? I will perform the oath that I swore to your father. And he said, I will multiply you and you will be fruitful and you will be blessed. Can you see? It's the same blessing he gave Adam and Adam blew it off. Well, God's moving to get that blessing back. And that's the blessing that we now have. That's the reason you're so wealthy. Amen. For any born again child of God to be poor and hungry and sick is an absolute insult to the cross. We don't have any business being like that. That's right. Amen. Amen. We do not have any business being like that. The blessing has come on us. And we're finding out about it. Praise God. I love what Leroy Thompson said. Promise my days of poverty are over. Glory be to God. Amen. I'll never be broke another day in my life. Well, I got some more news for you. I'll never be sick another day in my life. Praise God. I'll tell you something else. I'll never be fat another day in my life. Praise God. I found out I'd been redeemed from hunger. Hunger's under the curse. I'm redeemed from hunger. I don't need hunger pains to tell me when to eat. I'm 70 years old. I got brains enough to know I'm supposed to eat. I don't need to have that gnawing hunger on me all the time. And I sure don't need to be no 100 pounds overweight.
Come on.
And I'm not. But this blessing will get you there. Hallelujah. Well, I just thought I'd pitch that in there at you. Hallelujah. Now, he was 17 years old, and he had these two dreams, and he saw in that dream, in those dreams, that he was blessed. But now you have to understand, he knows about the blessing. All of his brothers know about the blessing. They have been taught, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and these men are to become the heads of the 12 tribes of Israel. Yes, sir. All of them had rights to the same blessing. Every one of them. Hallelujah. Are you following me here now so far? Well, this young man, see, God called Joseph into the office of the prophet. And God would speak through him, and he fully intended for him to be speaking not only to his brethren, but to carry out the role of a prophet. Well, they set out to kill him. Well, what is happening? The blessing took care of him, and he refused to turn it loose. He would not let that blessing go. Under any kind of pressure, he wouldn't let it go. They called him everything you could think of. They tried to kill him. They tried to do everything they could to him, and he would not violate it. And we have record, he said later, how can I do this wicked thing? How can I do despite to my God who has blessed me? See, he knew what was going on. He learned it. I mean, come on. Abraham is his great-granddaddy. That old man lived a long time. Amen. And they knew what this blessing was and what it was intended to do and the power of it, because their old granddaddy got a hold of it out in the middle of nothing, in the middle of a barren wasteland, praise God. And he just barely got started in it. And the scripture starts listing all of the wealth that that old gentleman had. And God just, the blessing just kept manifesting. The word was making wealth. And Moses quoted God in the presence of the people and said, it is God that has given you the power to get wealth. Amen. Well, what was that power? This blessing. And the power of it was the word. The word. God had said it. God had promised it. It's a living thing. It was alive in heaven, and it was alive in the earth. And if you'll mix faith with it, then the anointing, which is the power that removes the curse, removes the burdens and destroys the yokes that are involved in it, that anointing gets loose and goes to removing that curse and moves the poverty out, moves the sickness out, moves the death out. That's the way you got born again. Don't tell me you don't know how to use it. That's the way you got saved. The very process. The blessing itself recreated your spirit. Amen. Amen. You done threw the big part. Money part's easy part. Healing part's easy part. You went through the jaws of hell and just come out smelling like a rose, praise the Lord, by the power of that blessing. In the name of Jesus. Now, God spoke to them through dreams and visions. And he spoke to this young man this way, intending for this young man to speak to this family, and consequently, the family was to go on and to be extended and so forth, and they fouled it up. Now, come on over here to the 39th chapter. I want you to see this thing in operation. Joseph was brought down to Egypt. Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him of the hands of the Ishmaelites, which had brought him down there. Now, this Roman officer bought him. This man was not only an officer in the military, he was also a farmer and rancher. And so he brought this young man in. The Lord was with Joseph. Now, I want to show you something here. Oh, I wish we had time to get into this part of it, but this will be another time. Possibly, and I just possibly, I didn't check this all the way out with the Lord yet, but just possibly we could go on into this maybe in Great Lakes. And if we do, then it'd be part of this whole body of work. I ain't promising you nothing because I have prayed that out. But Lord, it sure would be fun. Anyway, now you see the word Lord, capital L, little capital O-R-D. That represents what's called the very personal name of God. In Hebrew, it is spelled out Yud Hey Vav Hey. His personal name. That name, all the power, all the wealth, all. When one speaks that name, you have spoken the entire blessing and all of its wealth and glory in one word. Amen. It's called the Tetragrammaton. The Jews refuse to say it. And that's their business. And that's not my business to get into their business. I want you to notice this now. Like I said, I'd love to get in there and really walk you through this thing. But you're wise enough and sharp enough, particularly, I mean, it's Friday night. You've been here all week. Amen. So now, listen carefully. He went into Potiphar's house And the name was with him. You catch on? Huh? You catch on? Brother Dan, am I saying that right? You're a Hebrew scholar. The name was with him. Now that name represents that blessing because it was the name in the garden that spoke it. Is that right, Doc? All right. If I get wrong, you guys holler. Yeah. You straighten me out. I mean it now. Yeah, amen. The name was with him. The name was on him. God. Oh, man. That name was on him, which meant that blessing was there and it was functioning all the time. And he knew it and he was not about to violate it. You think he's going to take that name and use it in vain? That's the name that God was talking about later when he wrote out the commandments and he said, don't you use that name in vain. Don't use it in a profane way. It's a dangerous thing. They weren't just saying God like the dumb, low-level way of cussing that we've got. I mean, even our cussing ain't no good. You know it. But man, I'm telling you, you use the name in a blasphemous manner. Lovely. Kill you. And that's the reason God was protecting them from that. So the Jews came to a place where they wouldn't say it at all. Man, we ain't running the risk here. Amen. Now, the name, that blessing was on him, see. And he was a prosperous man. And he was in the house of his master the Egyptian. And his master saw that the name was with him and that the name made all that he did to prosper in his hand. Now, I mean, here is an Egyptian. Here's a guy that wouldn't know God if he come in with a red hat and said, I'm God, how are you? But he saw something was going on. And obviously, by the time, this is a synopsis, the way this verse is written here, and he came to a place where he realized whatever this name is that this young man is praying in, and whatever this is that he speaks when he's saying this name, it has released something on this man to the point where you can see it. I mean, you could just see stuff just prospering all over the place just because he was there. Now, notice, follow me carefully here. Joseph found grace in his sight, and he served him, and he made him overseer over his house, and all that he had, he put in his hand. Well, evidently, this general's no fool. He turned it over to him. And it came to pass from the time that he had made him overseer in his house and over all that he had, that the name blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake, and the blessing of the Lord, the blessing of the name was upon all that he had in the house and in the field. Now, not only was Joseph now a wealthy man, he considered himself wealthy when they sold him to those Ishmaelites. He already had God's word on it that he was going to wind up on top and somebody was going to be underneath him in authority somehow or another. He got sight of that. He saw it in two dreams. Well, those dreams, instead of blessing those brothers and getting behind him and getting with finding out here what God's talking about, they all got mad and wanted to kill him.
That's right.
I've had people do the same over me. Yeah. Oh, yeah, there's some of them would kill me if they thought they got away with it. Man, I've seen fire in some of them's eyes. One of them come charging down the aisle of a little church I was preaching up in Panhandle of Texas, and This old boy was pastor of another church down in town. A bunch of his church members got over there, and they all got excited, and some of them got baptized in the Holy Ghost. And they went and told him, said, "My God, look here in the Bible, Jesus went to hell. Ain't that something? Went to hell just for me and reading him the scripture." It made him so mad he couldn't understand it. And this old boy was, I'm telling you, he's big as all outdoors, man. I mean, he had been an alcoholic truck driver. And got saved and delivered and had become a preacher of the gospel and pastored this little church over across town. And it made him mad, and he thought, "Dear God, somebody say that Jesus, a righteous man, went to hell, ought to be shut up." And he come over after me. Well, this little old church I was preaching in, the little platform wasn't over about a foot high. And I was standing there right in the doors of this building right in the middle. And it's just about this size. This is the right-hand side of the building, and this may be the left hand, maybe not quite that size. And I'm standing there, and I'm standing right in about this kind of relationship, and I'm talking about this, and I'm preaching, and we're just having us a big time. And all of a sudden, the back door swung open, and man, here he comes. And I'm standing on this thing. I'm a foot up off of the ground. I'm just about his size. And I thought, whoa. I said, "Well, Lord, here he come. Praise God, greater is he that's in me than he that's on him." And so I just stopped what I was doing, and here he come, just a storming. Stomped right up in front of my face and stuck his finger in my face, and he said, up and out he went. God just baptized him in the Holy Ghost right there and knocked him in the floor. And I just stand there looking at him, you know, and I just went ahead and finished my message while he's laying there in the floor. I said, "Well, you started it, finish it." I don't know what to do with him. I didn't even know who he was at the time. And he got up and he said, "Oh, glory, oh, God, oh, glory, oh, glory, oh, God, oh, God, oh, God." Well, see, even back there then, I knew that this blessing was on me. I didn't try to protect myself. Don't need to. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, later on, he got up and he's still praying in the Holy Ghost and speaking in tongues. And he staggered out of there, and he finally got up enough where he could drive, and he got in his car, and he went over to the church, and he said, I started in the parsonage, and he thought, "No, I just went in the sanctuary and just fell down there in the front of the church and cried out to God." And he said, "I'm laying there on the floor just crying in the spirit, crying in tongue." He said, "I ain't never been so blessed in my life." Man, he's telling me this later. And he said, "I just got it all poured out." And he said, "I stopped and I said, Jesus, did you go to hell?" And he said, "Copeland, the word of the Lord come to me." I said, "What'd he say?" He said, "You better believe it, big boy. If I hadn't, you would have." Amen. Well, he couldn't wait till he got back over and could hug my neck and tell me how thrilled he was. What was going on? The blessing. The blessing's functioning. And it got on him. See? Now, when a man or a woman and a family is functioning in this, in reality, and it is working, you can folks get wealthy. People around you get wealthy. Some of them may not even doing right, and they'll start blessing them. That's what happened to Lot.
Yes.
Yep, that's right. See, I mean, Lot, that boy was messed up. He is selfish. He didn't do right, and his family's even worse. But he got so rich, there wasn't no place to put all his cows. "Well, I just don't believe, Brother Copeland, God wants you to have that kind of access." Well, don't you think God knows when you got enough cows?
Come on.
Huh?
Yes, sir.
Amen. And they had too many cows. And the Bible said that Abraham was blessed with much silver, much gold, much cattle, much land. Well, all this thing is functioning around him. Now it's functioning in the life of Joseph. Joseph found grace in the man's eyes, And now verse 6, he left all that he had in Joseph's hand, and he knew not aught what he had, save the bread which he did eat. And Joseph was a goodly man and well-favored. This guy got so rich, he didn't even know anymore what he owned. And he quit trying to figure it out and just left it all in Joseph's hand to run it. But the guy had a crazy wife. And the devil got a hold of her. And you know the rest of that story. Now, Joseph got put over in prison because of Potiphar's nutty wife. And now Joseph did the right thing. He made a judgment mistake. He shouldn't have been in that house by himself with that nutty woman. Now, that wasn't the right thing to do, and he let it slip, and he got in there, and he's working the books, and he's done whatever he needs to do in his job, and she latched hold of him. Well, man, I want you to know, she made her pass at him, and he blew out of there. She grabbed that coat, and he just let her have it. Amen. And then out the door he went, man. Well, she got all mad and upset. But that's what the devil tries to do to break that blessing. That's what he tried to do with Job, to break that blessing. Job was the richest man in the East. But now Job had the written book. Joseph didn't. All he had was those dreams. And God had to manifest himself in dreams and visions and some things he had to come do personally in order not to let the blessing die out. Because that blessing was to produce Jesus in Bethlehem. The Word had to be made flesh and dwelt among us. And it was that Abrahamic promise that became that flesh. Are you with me so far? Oh, we're getting real close here to where we're going. Now he gets put in prison. Well, instead of saying, well, bless God, I don't know why God let this happen to me. I just don't understand it. I just do the best I can. He just gives me two dreams and lets me just hang out here. I'm doing the best I can. I did what my daddy taught me and what little I got off of my granddaddy and my great-granddaddy. I made this other guy rich. It seemed like I'm just making them all rich. They buy and sell me like I was a piece of meat. And I don't know why. It just doesn't seem to me like it works out. And then here that crazy idiot of a wife, old Potiphar's God, I make the man rich and that screwball woman gets me thrown in the penitentiary. It'd all been over right then. He would have died in that old joint. He'd have died in that prison if he'd have done that. No, it didn't make him any difference. His whole thing in life was to walk in that blessing. I don't care where you put him. The blessing was his calling. The blessing was his, that was his, that was his whole life. The blessing was his profession. The blessing was what provided everything. It provided his thought life. It was everything to him. He functioned that blessing all the time. As first and foremost, he had that blessing and those two dreams up there where you and I need to put this written book. It's first place in his life. It didn't make any difference whether you're in prison, out of prison, and working in a farm, working for a general, working for... It didn't make any difference where you are. You stay in that blessing and you work that. That's what your call in life is, to work that blessing. Well, he just went on to prison and got in there and just started to work. Now, I want you to see what happened. I thought this is so good, really exciting. Now, he goes to prison. I want you to look here. In the 22nd verse, the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners that were in the prison, and whatsoever they did there, he was the doer of it. Has he ever been a prison warden? No. Had he ever been a ranch manager? No. Had he ever been a farm manager? No. Had he ever been a banker? No. He didn't have to have experience in all that stuff. He knew the blessing. He had the wisdom of God. The name was working. I don't care where you put him. The blessing of the Lord taught him what to do there. And he turned. What was happening? The blessing was removing the curse and creating a Garden of Eden around this man wherever he went, whatever he did. You couldn't hurt him fast enough. You couldn't steal from him fast enough. I mean, you couldn't keep him down. You couldn't keep him out because he kept working this. He kept working this. He worked it all the time. He kept it on his mind all the time. He wouldn't let the prison get on his mind. He wouldn't let Potiphar get on his mind. He wouldn't let his wife get on his mind. I don't care what Potiphar told him to do. I don't know. He might have sent him somewhere and told him to buy a bunch of cattle or something. Well, has he ever bought any cattle? No. Has he got any money? No. Potiphar gives him the money. He goes off down there and somehow or another he makes the best buy and a wholesale. Huh?
That's right.
He's working that blessing. He worked it all the time. He went to bed with it. He got up with it in the morning. He thought about it all the time. And by this time, he knows he's prosperous. By this time, he knows wherever he goes, that this thing on him, the power to get wealth, the power to stay well, the power to function anywhere, anytime, is going to remove poverty from around him, is going to remove everything the devil throws at him. And by this time, he's getting better and better and better about it. And he obviously knows that God will show him how to do anything he needs to do. Now his faith is developed to the point when they send for him to find out what Pharaoh needed to know. He didn't start backtracking and say, well, I mean, I'm just a little Jew boy. What do I know about kings and their dream? Dear God, don't come down here after me with that. No, he said, what does the king want to know? I'll find it out. I'm blessed. Amen. Well, now, Brother Copeland, that seems to me like a kind of a haughty way to act. Well, you sound like his brothers. That's the reason they got so mad at Jesus. Jesus said, you know what? I'll pray and the Father will send the Holy Ghost. He didn't say, I'll tell you, I'll fast and I'll cry out to God. And God in his infinite wisdom might see fit someday, somehow, one of these days to send the Holy Ghost. But you never know what God's going to do. They would have been thrilled with him. But no, he said, he put a grin on his face, you know, I'll pray and the Father will send the Holy Ghost. Yeah, I'll ask him. He'll do it. Just burn their hide. That he had that kind of boldness, faith, and authority. That's what made him mad at this kid. He knows. He knows in whom he has believed. He's learned now how to function in this thing. He knows how to pull aside and get inside God's thinking and get God's thinking inside him. And he knows God will talk to him in a dream. God will talk to him in a vision. He didn't have a book. But he knows he'll talk to him. He's got confidence. I don't care if it's a king or a baker. Baker needed to know something. Ask him, you're my partner. I'll find out for you. So he goes to the blessing. God tells him. He tells the baker. Amen. I mean, this he's functioning in the blessing. How did he get there? He had it on his mind all the time, and he refused to violate it. Now, I don't know whether you picked up on this or not, but that's what Jesse was talking to you about today. It's exactly. Jesse puts things in a humorous way, and so, but he made some of you mad enough to spit. But this is what's in the middle of Jesse's heart. This is why he's like that. This is why I'm the way I am. This is why Gloria is like that. This is why, I mean, it's on our minds night and day. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm not going to violate that commandment of love. Oh, my, oh, my, oh, my. No, 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 no. And if for some reason I do violate it, I'm going to repent immediately, right then on the spot. I don't want anything fouling this up. No, 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 no. Awake unto righteousness and sin not, the scripture said. And this man was awake. He was awake to that name. He was awake to this blessing on him. Well, you know what happened here. He wound up not only in charge of that prison. In one day's time, while on a king's furlough from this old Egyptian prison, to come up to the palace, while on that king's pass, in one day's time, before dark that night, he was prime minister of the most powerful nation on the face of the planet. And it didn't stop there. It did not stop there. At that time, Pharaoh was the authority. He was the king. But his own personal wealth was not all that great. Of course he was wealthy. He was a king. But because of Joseph and the blessing on him and the wisdom of God, Joseph introduced a plan into the Egyptian government that within a few years, Pharaoh owned all of the land in Egypt. But the people were kept from starving to death. I've had people say to me, this just really get in my face, but I said, "Well, now you see, Brother Copeland. And when preachers begin to take on that preacher's perpendicular talk, yasemam. You know. Boy, you know you're going to get some unbelief dumped on you, brother." Larry, what are you laughing at? Yeah, you know exactly what I'm talking about, you know. Like a fellow went away one semester at the Bible school and come to that little old country church out there again where he's raised. And, of course, it's just out of just being nice. And the pastor asked him if he would like to speak at least once. I mean, after all, he is a Bible school student, but he ain't been in Bible school but one semester. And he come home and he gets up there in that pulpit in our little old country church and he begins to talk about God. Hallelujah. And his cousin sat back there, leaned over to his other cousin and said, I ain't listening. He said, "Why not?" "Cause he's just as poor as us. I ain't listening to him. It ain't been all that but a few days ago that his mama had to wrap his ankles in coal oil soaked rags to keep the cutworms from eating him up. Cause he eat just as many collard greens as the rest of us did. I ain't listening. God or no God." And I've had them to bring that God attitude in my face over this very thing. "Well, now you see, Brother Copeland. Now, actually, what actually, you making fun? Yes, am I?" Well, the whole world's out there making fun of us. It's time we got in our own face over this stuff and just get real, you know. "But you see, Brother Copeland." In other words, "You dummy, you ain't never been to school." Listen, "You see, Brother Copeland, the reason, I mean, you know, yes, he was blessed, yes, and, you know, the Lord was with him. But you see, God moved him away from that land of famine and moved him over to where God had planned to do this great time of feasting and prosperity, so he would be there, so he could take food back to his people." And come to find out, sure enough, that's what most schools teach. Wow. Only trouble of it is, it ain't so.
That's right. Amen.
God didn't send him over there because where it was going to be blessed. It got blessed because he got sent over there.
That's right.
Amen.
Amen.
Yeah, It was the blessing. And when the famine came, it didn't touch him. It was his plan to keep the country from starving to death. And the plan that kept the country from starving to death blessed that Pharaoh until he became the biggest landowner in the world. Amen. And as long as Egypt and the Pharaohs remembered Joseph, Israel fared well. Until they got a crazy Pharaoh in there that forgot about all of that and blasphemed the blessing of God. And he's the one that put so much trouble on the children of Israel. And God had to deliver them out. Now, how'd he deliver them out? That was the blessing functioning. That was the name himself. How'd he do that? The blessing came on Moses. Amen. Same blessing. The blessing of Abraham. And there he was. He didn't know a form thing in the world about that blessing. I mean, he's raised in Pharaoh's court. He was raised a crown prince of Egypt. He didn't know anything about that blessing till he got down there and found out who his folks were and who his mother and all that. I started to use that good old southern phrase, you know. He got down there with his mama and them. Amen. Got down there with his mama and them and found out, man, all his good things about who he was. I'm a Jew. And he got to finding out about that blessing, praise God. A lot of things began to happen. Are you listening to me? The blessing of Abraham is on you right now. Now I'm going to close with this. And I am going to stir you to your innards right now. A lot of you sitting right here tonight would just about give anything you can think of to have a dream or a vision from God and have some kind of woo-woo-woo-woo-woo. I'm not against dreams and visions, but I don't seek them because they're not promised.
That's right.
I ain't part of the promise.
Right.
Amen. I got to seeking them back there when I was very, very young in these things. Boy, and I got to pressing the Lord. I said, look here. Now you appeared to Kenneth Hagin, you appeared to Oral Roberts, you appeared to David Nunn, you appeared to T.L. Osborne, you appeared to all these guys. I said, I want you to come here and talk to me. Now I started pressing him back. I started using my faith on him. And finally, he got through to me one night. He said, if I oblige you in the area of dreams and visions, he said, Kenneth, it'll set your faith back at least 5 years. You may not ever get it back. I said, how? What? Why? He said, the blessing of Abraham's on you. I said, well, yeah, man, what does that have to do with it? But see, I'd caught sight of that. I knew that's where it all was in that blessing. I'd caught up with that. He said, don't you remember what I said? He said, do you remember when Thomas came up to me and I said to him, put your fingers in here, Thomas. And he said, remember, I said to him, and quit being faithless. I said, yeah. Now listen. He said, remember I said this. Blessed. Blessed are those who have believed and not seen this. This is it right here.
That's it.
I said, I'm done with that. I'll never bring it up again. The longest day I live on this earth, in the name of Jesus, I am a man that's not moved by what I see. I'm not moved by what I feel. I'm moved by your word. Hallelujah. If the word won't get it, I won't have it. And whatever I need and have, the word will get it. Amen.
Amen.
Changed everything in my whole life right then. And I said, what, teach me what happened here then with Brother Hagin and Brother Roberts and you speak in an audible voice to Oral Roberts, my spiritual father. Several times I said, what was going on with them? He said, the whole body of Christ was headed down the traditional seeing and feeling ditch. He said, I didn't have anybody to call on. I had to go appear to Kenneth Hagin. I had to go talk to Oral Roberts audibly. I had to go appear to these men in order to personally teach them, so to get them off of that traditional feeling and seeing and Pentecostal Baptist religion and turn them and get them over on my word. But he said, now you've learned everything I said to Kenneth Hagin. You've learned everything I said to Oral Roberts. You have right there in your hand everything I said to Moses, everything I said to Abraham, everything I said to Isaac, everything I said to Jacob. He said, you have everything I said to Job. You have everything that I said through my own mouth while I was here on the earth. And I saw it. You ain't getting this from me. David saw it. Oh, did he ever? That's the reason he was so blessed. That's what he said to Saul when he said, King, I'll go kill you, John, for you. He's nothing. And listen to what he called him. He said, that uncircumcised Philistine ain't got a prayer up against me. See, he knew the source of his power. It was his covenant with God. That blood covenant that he was in with him. And he said, now that Philistine ain't no different than the lion and the bear. He said, I kill a lion, I kill a bear. He knew the source of his strength. He knew the source of his power. And he had great faith. He was bold. And he was the same age as Joseph, 17 years old. But he said, I'll kill you, John, for you. No problem. Where does a 17-year-old boy get that kind of confidence? He knew about the blessing. And he was so wild for God. The scripture that's translated ruddy wasn't talking about his fair, cute little 17-year-old cheeks. Didn't have anything to do with his complexion. I don't know where they got the word ruddy anyway, translating it that way. It uses the same word to translate Esau. That Esau was ruddy. Well, Esau was anything other than fair complected. I mean, dear Lord, he looked like a bear, looked like a gorilla. But what it was talking about David, it's talking about David being, the word translated ruddy, literally translated means wilder than an ass. He's a wild man. Wild man. The problem with him was he was fine till you get started talking about God or singing psalms. Or, I mean, the man go absolutely stark raving wild. That's the reason his daddy didn't want him nowhere in that house when that prophet comes see him. Listen, that prophet's coming. He's the major prophet in the land. This man can make or break you, you understand? And the word is out. He's coming down here to pick the king of Israel. Now, get that kid out of here. I don't want him anywhere. You just say God, and he jerks his clothes off and runs nuts.
Come on.
His daddy had no confidence in him. Boy, God did. God said, I'm going to tell you something. That boy's after my heart.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Yes,
and the old prophet stood up in front of him, and that blessing of Abraham just reached out there and grabbed Samuel and shook him and said, behold, the king of Israel.
Yeah.
Who made him king? That blessing made him king. That blessing and Goliath made him king. Man, he was king from that day forward. Isn't that amazing? It's the blessing. Did you catch up with it? Are you with me in it? One more scripture. I told you, I'm either going to turn your lights up bright or put them out right here. Let's go over to 2 Peter. Verse 16. First chapter. Chapter 1, verse 16. This is the Apostle Peter. Would you say that this is a man that's seen some things? Now, this is a man that's seen some visions. Woo! He saw Jesus transfigured. And it hit him so hard he couldn't think of anything to say. Holla, 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 holla. Woo, let's build a house. Dear Lord. What? Verse 16. We have not followed cunningly devised fables. When we made known unto you the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus, the Anointed One. But we were eyewitnesses. Eyewitness. I told you he'd seen some things. We were eyewitnesses of his majesty. But now I want to inject something right here. When he denied Jesus three times, was that before he had this great experience of seeing his majesty and hearing that voice from heaven? No, it was after. So a lot of good that big vision did. Huh? He pulled just as ugly and wicked a thing as Judas did. He just didn't go kill himself. He wanted to. He hadn't too much character and integrity to do that. He wouldn't do it. We were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he, Jesus, received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." This voice, which came from heaven, we heard. Amen. When we were with him in the holy mountain, we heard it. They had heard God Almighty's audible voice. He said, we didn't make none of this stuff up. We didn't follow somebody's funny fairy tale. We've seen things and heard things. Now notice what he said. We have also. We have also a more sure word of prophetic utterance. Yes.
That's right. That's right.
Yes. Whereunto you do well that you take heed, as unto a light that shines in a dark place until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts, knowing this first, that no prophetic utterance of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. God is no respecter of persons. Thus, you're the seed of Abraham just as much as Jesus was. And he is. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Now look at verse 20. I want to finish that verse. Knowing this first, no prophecy of the Scripture. The Scripture. What you have right there is far more powerful, far more dependable, far much more the word of the living God than what he heard on that mountain. That's that right. Day. This is my beloved Son, hear ye him.
That's right. Amen.
after all, you have a copy of, this is my beloved son, hear ye him. I mean, what's the difference? You got it written down right there in front of you. You can hear it anytime you want to hear it. This is the burden removing, yoke destroying source of the anointing of the living God. This is the word that will become flesh. This is the word that will become healing. This is the word that becomes massive wealth. This is the word that becomes the anointing to preach. This is the word that becomes righteousness. This is the word that becomes a new household. This is a word that can turn into little babies for people that can't have any children. Oh, how well I know.
Amen.
Yeah. Gloria and I have prayed over barren women and men over the years. Praise the Lord. And there's just all kinds of wonderful little children out there. And it was this word that brought it. It was the word that became that living seed on the inside of people. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah, I said. This is the source of the blessing. We are heirs to what? The promise. And Peter said it himself. He outlined it. He laid it out there for every one of us to see. And he said, you are of like faith with us. The Apostle John said it again. He said, your fellowship is with us. You're like us. You got the same faith. You got it in the same place. We all got it from Jesus. And then Peter said this. You have been given exceeding great, precious promises, and by these promises you become. Where we heard that. You become partakers of the divine nature of God Himself. Hallelujah! Can you see it? Can you see it? One of my very, very closest friends, I saw her one day. I was preaching morning service in Brother Harold and Sister Lou's church. And I mean, they'd been in the ministry longer than I was old. But I'd have just beginning to touch some of these things. And I saw them in my spirit. I was so consumed with it. And I'd preached it over there in their church congregation that morning. And suddenly Sister Lou got up and she's walking around. You remember this, Lou? You were walking around. She's walking around the smaller room there where we were having a morning service. We weren't out in the main auditorium out there. Just a handful of us in there. And she just got up while I was preaching and just got them, started walking around. And she had her Bible up here like this. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. And she's walking around. Oh, my God. Oh, thank you, Jesus. I thought, what's the matter with her? So finally, I just stopped, and she just kept walking around, walking around. I said, Sister Lou, is there something you want to say? Oh, my God. Oh, my God. She said, it's just hit me. I've been carrying this word. I've been studying this word. It's always been precious to my life. It's always been precious to my life. But, oh, my God. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. This word became flesh and dwelt among us. It's this word. It's this precious, precious promises. And tears were coming down her face. The revelation and the dawning had come into her that this is not a book about somebody. This book is somebody. I don't know how long I could preach on it. I don't have any idea. I preached on it one day for 11 hours straight. I've been preaching on it for 40 years and I never got to the end of it. I'm going to have to unhook right now and I'll get nowhere near through. And the more I preach on it, the bigger it gets. And the bigger it gets, the stronger I get. My youth has been renewed like the eagle. Right here's where I got it. A miracle in my back has renewed my back. All the discs are back in my back, standing up straight. They're not ruptured and blown out anymore. The nerves that were blocked in there have been unblocked. There's no more degenerative joint disease in my bones. The last MRI was gone. It was gone. And it came from this right here. I got it with this right here. I got it confessing this. Jesus has said in the 3rd chapter of the book of Hebrews, He is the high priest over this book in our mouths. My Lord. Hallelujah. We're going to spend the rest of eternity finding out what's in this book. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Did you get anything tonight? Would you stand, please? Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, bless the name of the Lord. Shall we just begin to worship the Lord here for a few minutes? Just worshiping and praising. If you have never, ever in your life accepted Jesus as your Lord and your Savior, now's the time. Don't breathe another breath without it. And it's the easiest thing you ever did in your life. Seems so easy. But see, Jesus did all the hard part. Oh, He suffered to get this to you. Oh, unimaginable. That human mind cannot conceive of what happened to Him. Hanging there on that cross, the Scripture said that He became so twisted from being made sin. He was so twisted and deformed that He no longer appeared to be a man. That's what shook that Roman centurion up so bad when he saw that happening on that cross. Wasn't happening to these other two guys. How many people had he executed on that stake? There's no telling. He never saw that happen to any of them. And that's when he made the statement, that had to be the work of God. That had to be the work of God. Well, the Scripture tells you in the 53rd chapter of Isaiah that that's what everybody was saying. We esteemed Him stricken and smitten of God. And it was being made sin. And it twisted Him and turned Him and burned Him until He didn't even look like a man anymore. So don't ever say this is too easy. He did all the hard part. The only thing that He could not do for you is pray the prayer. He left that for you. You have to make the decision. You're the one that has to pray the prayer. And when you do, all that He did and all that He has accomplished for the last 2,000 years as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, all of it comes to swirling into existence in your spirit. And your spirit being by the power of the Holy Ghost becomes the seed of Abraham. Joint heir with Christ Jesus. Oh, and for the first time you step into the light of God's glory, and the rest of your eternity is ahead of you, and you'll spend it who knows how many eons of time finding out how blessed you really are. Every head bowed and every eye closed, please. You say, Brother Copeland, I've heard this tonight. And I want this. It's my time. I want to accept Jesus as my Lord and my Savior. Or it may be that you've known the Lord as your Savior, but you've gotten out of God's house and gotten back out there in the world of sin. But you say, Brother Copeland, I want to come back home to Father's house. I won't come back tonight. Do you suppose He'll accept me back? Oh, my, yeah, you're the one that left. He didn't. He's right there where you left Him. Arms open, knocking on the door of your heart right now, saying, open it up, sweetheart. Let me come on back in. Or it may be that you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, but you've never been baptized in the Holy Ghost. You've never received that supernatural prayer language and supernatural praise language that the Spirit of God has for you in order to dig into the depth of that blessing and pray it in a way that the devil and his bunch hadn't even got a clue of what you're talking about. Praise God. Amen. If that's you, any one of the three of those three propositions, if that's you, I'm going to ask you to do something here. I'm going to ask you to step out from where you are right now and come right up here and stand here in front of me and give me the honor and privilege of praying with you and leading you in these three prayers tonight. Would you do that? Would you just step out from where you are right now and just come and running right up here and saying, Brother Copeland, I want Jesus as my Lord and my Savior. Brother Copeland, I want to come back to the house of God. I want this sin out of my life. Brother Copeland, I want to be baptized in the Holy Ghost, speaking with other tongues. Come on, just come and running. Praise the Lord. Go ahead, Lynn.
I surrender.
Hallelujah.
I surrender.
Hallelujah.
Oh, to thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all.
Come on, anyone else? Yeah. Come on down from the balcony. We'll wait on you. Come on. Oh, hallelujah. Bless the Lord. Hallelujah. I know it isn't an easy thing to do, but just get on out and come on down here. Praise the Lord. Jesus was crucified on top of the mountain for everybody to see. And you need to be saying, I don't care what they think about me. From this night forward, I'm a Christian and I don't care who knows it. Praise the Lord. Come on.
To thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all.
There's still some more coming, Lynn. Go ahead and sing again.
I surrender all.
Hallelujah.
I surrender
all. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Let me read to you what the book says. Oh, glory to God. I remember the first time I ever saw this. Oh, I was messed up. I don't even want to get into all that. You understand? I was so messed up. And just torn up in my mind. And I found this. If you shall confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord, and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture says, whosoever believed on him shall not be ashamed. There's no difference between the Jew and the Greek, the same Lord over all, and he's rich unto all that call upon him. So whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And I thought, hey, I'm a whosoever. Dear God, it didn't say just the nice people. And then I found another scripture that said he died for the ungodly. And I thought, man, I qualify. Did I ever qualify for that? And I began to realize that It's guys like me that he's after. Praise the Lord. Amen. And it's been a thrill from that day to this. And then I found another scripture that said, whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. Amen. Put one hand over your heart and raise your other hand up towards heaven. It don't hurt if you lift your eyes and look up there. You can close your eyes, you can look down. And pray this, though, loudly enough you can hear it with your own ears. Oh God in heaven. All of us in the congregation, join in and help us. We're going to lead them to the throne of grace. Oh God in heaven. I believe with all of my heart that Jesus has been raised from the dead. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. I receive you as my Lord and my Savior. I repent of sin. I renounce the past. Jesus, you're my future. I turn it all over to you, Lord. Now, Satan, take your hands off my life. You're not my Lord. Jesus is my Lord. And from this night forward, I'll serve him. Take your hands off my business affairs. Take your hands off my family. Get out. Get under my feet. Jesus is my Lord. And him I shall serve. Lord Jesus, fill me to overflowing with your precious Holy Spirit. I receive now. Oh, thank you. I'm a believer. I'm not a doubter. Jesus is in my heart. I receive the infilling of the Holy Spirit. I now receive my heavenly prayer language. My praise language. It's mine. I receive it. In Jesus' name, amen. Now give the Lord praise and begin to thank him for it. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Say, well, Brother Copeland, I don't know whether I feel just right or not. How would you know how you're supposed to feel? You just got here. Amen. Let the Lord take care of the feelings. Amen. We're believing his word. It's his word that becomes. It's his word that was just planted in your spirit and in your mind. It's his word that is stirring faith in you. Praise the Lord. Amen. Tonight's your night. Yeah, I'm telling you, I remember my night. Yeah, second day of November 1962, right before 8 o'clock in the evening. Amen. And I said, Jesus, come into my heart. And to my surprise, he did. I didn't know what you know. I hadn't heard what you had preached to you tonight and in other meetings. God bless you forever. I don't know. Jesse may be living on one side of you and Glory and me on the other when we get to heaven. Then Creflo said he's going to be everybody's neighbor. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, see that young man right over there with that Bible in his hand? He is a minister of the gospel with Kenneth Copeland Ministries. We've set up a very special prayer room and place where you can go. I would ask you, for all of you, for at least for a few minutes, there's some things I want to give you and some things I want the people back there that want to share some things with you. You can stay as long as you want. You can ask questions of people there ready to pray with you or whatever you need. Just follow him to that place of prayer right there. That young man waving his Bible at you. And let's give the Lord praise and thanksgiving for these precious souls that have come. Hallelujah. Sing it again, man. Sing through that again.
I surrender all. Savior, I surrender.
prayer and healing and miracle school is in the morning. Gloria is going to be conducting that. She's been doing it since 1979. We've never had not one single healing school service that Jesus didn't show up and heal a bunch of people and do a bunch of miracles and save a bunch of people. Not one time since 1979. Not one time. And it's going to be very special in the morning. So make your plans to be here. Oh, Brother Copeland, I don't need healing. Well, come find out how to minister to somebody else. Come bring the faith that you've developed all this week. Come bring it in here in the morning and help Gloria and hold her up and help her pray and help her believe God for people as they receive their healings. Amen. It's been a wonderful time tonight, hasn't it? Did you get as much out of it as I did? Say amen if you did. Amen. All right.